Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place.
When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign.
When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus,
we'll sing and shout the victory.
Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the tolls of life repay.
Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold.
When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus,
we'll sing and shout the victory.
I need to use them for an illustration, so you guys come and hang out up here for a minute. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter number 1. You guys can come get a seat up here, a stand up here. I know you don't have your Bibles, but that's okay. They probably forgot them anyway for church, I'm not sure. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, you know the verse. If you would stand to your feet, we'll read this verse tonight, and that would be great. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, if you would stand to your feet as we read the Word of God this evening. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8, as we continue on the subject of the importance of missions tonight. I want to challenge you about this specifically, about our missions here at home and what that means for us, the church. Acts 1 and verse number 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Would you read that out loud with me as we read it a second time? Ready and begin. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this night. Pray for your blessings on this evening and the message. Pray you'd speak to hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. I'm on, right? Good. Just want to make sure we're good here. You all right back there? Okay, there we go. Quiet down, kid back there. No. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. We've been preaching through this subject of worldwide missions the last few weeks, and we challenge you about the areas of praying for missions and how important it is. We can never overemphasize the importance of prayer. Church, if we would get serious and understand the power that there is through prayer, that we have direct access to God, to talk to God anywhere, anytime, and pray for someone across the world or across the street, and how God intervenes and moves through the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. We must be praying more, church. We must be praying. You think, well, what more can I do than pray? Isn't that sad as a Christian that sometimes that's our thought? We'd say, well, I can pray, but what else can I do? Then get a hold of the throne of God, then to ask God to intervene and do what I cannot do, That's like saying, well, I guess I can do more than God can by saying, well, I guess I can only pray. But praying for worldwide missions and for souls. And then number two, about giving to missions, about the importance of opening up our checkbooks. Again, I know that the younger generation is no longer going to know what a checkbook is or how to even write their signature because they don't have to learn cursive in schools other than in Shasta Baptist schools. We are teaching them how to write cursive, but how to give to worldwide missions. One of the purposes we have of our Seed Line project and our we have bucks for Bibles. Brother Seth made this for us, came up with a slogan here as well. But the importance of having our young people to learn how to give to missions. Our kids need to learn how to give as well. Amen. We better teach them. We're not just, we should do it, but we need to show them as well that we give, and we need to teach them to give and how great it is to give to the Lord's work. Amen. That was your opportunity, all right? To give to missions. There is such a big need for missions. If we would be willing to give, there are so many more missionaries we could support and do more for. There's such a need around the world. They're limited by two things in many ways. That's the finances to do the work and the laborers to do the work. Church, if we can't go around the world, we better give. We better give. We'll talk about going here as well, but we better give to missions around the world and pray that God would have you to do not less, but more. I believe that you step out by faith and you see what God can do. You see all through Scripture, the widow that gave her two mites, and then God left her homeless and no food, right? That God leaves people without that step out by faith, that you never see that in Scripture. I want to challenge you about stepping out by faith and say, God, what can I do more to stretch myself to do more in the area of giving? And then we talked last week about surrendering to missions, that you'd be willing to say, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, here am I, send me. God, I'm willing to go if you would call me, but also I'm volunteering to go. Such an important need. As we look at the verses here, and I'll tell you why I had the guys come up here as well, other than just to look pretty up here. And he says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Jesus promised, when I go, I'll leave the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that'll be with you and indwell with you. And there's a special power that comes from the Holy Spirit. Everyone is indwelled with the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation, right? You don't get another version of the Holy Spirit later on. You get all of the Holy Spirit right then. But you have access to the power of the Holy Spirit that you can tap into or that you can leave. And the church was challenged to dwell in Jerusalem to pray. They had a prayer meeting that went before Pentecost. Before they saw the thousands saved and come into Christ, add to the church. They had a prayer meeting. And they had the power of the Holy Spirit. But the Lord Jesus Christ challenged them and said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Look at this. The next word is both. All of these at the same time, both in, where? What's the first place? Jerusalem, and in, what's the next one? All Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Sorry, I didn't give you your chance on that one. I stole that from you. To be witnesses both in Jerusalem. It's not, I'm going to be a witness here instead of there. Or I'm going to give my money for others to go so I can stay. No, both. All at the same time. Let's have a word of prayer as we begin the message. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts and challenge and capture our hearts about the need of the gospel. To realize how short the hour is, how quickly people are stepping into eternity, and how close the moment is that Jesus Christ returns to take us home. Our time is short and the need is great. Lord, help us to capture our hearts, to get a vision and a burden for missions, to do more around the world, but also right here. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen. I'll tell you why I brought the guys here. If I can grab you guys, if I can have one of you, we're going to have these guys represent the four areas of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. If you were to draw a circle, Jerusalem was right where they were, and Judea is just out from there, and then Samaria is out from that place and the uttermost part of the earth. You see in the book of Acts that pattern where the gospel started in Jerusalem. In the next chapter, Judea, Samaria, uttermost part of the earth through worldwide missions. If I could get Samuel, you're going to be right here representing our Jerusalem, which is our Reading. Do you have a burden for Redding, California? Do you have a burden for the people that you see every day, that you go to work with, that you are neighbors with, that you pass on the street and you see in the grocery store? We better get a burden for our Jerusalem. We better have a burden for our Jerusalem. 90,000 people plus live in Redding, 182,000 people in the Redding metropolitan area. That's a whole lot of people that is our responsibility to reach with the gospel. We must be doing more. We have our Jerusalem, and then we have our Judea. And then Isaiah, if you come here and go about the first or second row, and this is our Judea. This is a picture of our city, of our Redding, California, our metropolitan Redding area. I don't know if you can call Redding the metropolitan area. if you live out in the sticks somewhere, then Redding is the big city, you know. But we've got our Redding here. We better have a burden and be knocking doors and reaching people with the gospel and running buses and knocking on doors right here where we are. There's still people where we live that have never heard the name of Jesus and have never entered a church house once in their lives. That's not just in the jungles of Africa and other places. That's right here where we live. Our Jerusalem and then our Judea, that's a picture of our state of California. You know this, how California goes is how our country goes. California is the leader in our country. And people are leaving California left and right. I want to get out of California. We better reach California, not leave California, church. I understand that God moves people. I'm not preaching against anyone, but people want to leave because of the cost and the something and the politics. Guess what? There's the cost and the politics everywhere else. Well, maybe not quite the taxes everywhere else. We'll leave that one aside. But we better reach our California. If we leave California and there's no Christians here with the light of the gospel, then where's our country going to go? You know it as much as we do. California gets ragged on more than any other state in the states, in the United States of America. But everyone is looking to California. And as we go, so is going the rest of our country. We better be voting. We better be praying and knocking doors and starting churches in our California, in our state as well. But then we have our Jerusalem, our Judea, and then our Samaria. And if I could get Joel, if you go a few more rows back from Isaiah there. This is a picture of the United States of America. It still says in our currency, in God we trust. But how quickly we are leaving to being a Christian nation. In the last coming weeks, the resurgence of people buying Bibles, getting Bible reading schedules and going to church, many of that from the faith and from the murder of Charlie Kirk. There's been a resurgence of people coming to religion and to church since his death. But we've seen it before, haven't we? I'm thankful for that, but how quickly we go and we have a surge in our country, but how quickly we go to a further decline quickly after that. We've seen it too many times where it's kind of a movement, you know, and I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and God's moving, but we better reach our country with the gospel. I believe we need to start churches around the world and send missionaries, but we also are starting churches here in our country as well. There's places you go in our country and there's a church on every street corner. But I don't believe in the city of Redding, California, there's another gospel preaching church, door knocking, preaching the gospel by grace through faith alone in Redding than here in Shasta Baptist Church. I don't believe there's another one in Redding. If there is, I've not met them. But in some places, there is a church on every street corner and where they trade church members at weekly and fight with each other and all that. But there's many places in California again and around in Oregon and Washington where you have cities of 100,000, 200,000, and more with zero gospel preaching churches. We must be doing more to reach our country with the gospel. And then I'll send you way out of the doors, Eliseo. No, you can go towards the back there somewhere if you like. Don't fall asleep back there. We know where you are. I can see you. I don't know if anyone else can see you on the cameras. But then the Bible says, "Unto the uttermost part of the earth." The uttermost part is the furthest away. So I've never been to India. I've never been to the Philippines. I've never been to Pakistan. I've never been to many of those furthest places away in the earth. I've been to a few. But we better get a burden and reach the furthest places away, the uttermost part of the earth. It's our duty, Shasta Baptist Church, our duty to reach our Reading. It's our duty to reach our state, our Judea. It's our duty to reach our Samaria in the United States of America. It's our duty to reach the uttermost part of the earth. It's our duty. Not somebody else's, it's ours. It's yours. It's my duty. If the gospel was up to you and your faith and your witness, how far would the gospel go? If it was just up to you and your witnessing, your giving, your praying, how far would the gospel go? I want to challenge you, church, because we can so easily settle in and say, well, we have a gospel preaching church, but what about you? We have a missions-minded church, but what about you? Say, we have soul-winning programs, but yes, church, but what about you? What is your personal responsibility and involvement to reach our Reading, our state, our country, and the uttermost part of the earth? We must be doing more, and not someday, but today. Not someday. While we wait, people are dying. I believe it's 3 people a second are going to hell. 3, 6, 9, 12. And it continues to grow and to grow and to grow. People going into eternity, and many, many are going to spend a Christless eternity in hell. Have you ever stopped to fathom that? What if that was your mom or dad? What if that was your brother or sister? People that are praying, would somebody go and tell them? Would somebody go and tell them? Thank you, guys. You can have a seat. I appreciate that. Shasta Baptist Church, missions at home. I want to challenge you about this, our Jerusalem. I want to challenge you about right here where we are. I want to give you a couple of challenges before we get to the message, really. We have a mission. We have a mission. We see in all the Gospels, the mission is to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And again, I've challenged you, how are we going to have a burden for people in India if we don't have a burden for people in Reading? How are we going to have a burden around the world? It is our mission. It's our duty, a command by the Savior. The last thing He said before He left was to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's a challenge for you, Christian, just as much as me. I don't have more of a challenge from God because I'm a pastor, and you don't because you're a teacher, you're a faithful member in the church. I'm thankful for you, but we have the same responsibility. Do you realize that, right? You have the same responsibility and the challenge that I have, because you're going to the same heaven I'm going to if you're saved, right? Amen. The same Savior that died for you, it's your responsibility to go into all the world. In Matthew 28, Jesus spake unto them, saying, and we'll see the gospel in all 4 of the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you see this in Acts as well. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. We see that pattern of go, teach, baptize, teach. We've got to go. We've got to preach the gospel. When they get saved, we baptize them after salvation and then teach them to grow as a Christian. Why? So they can go and take the same gospel they were given and go and find someone else. That is how the gospel continues. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke chapter 24, verse 45 through 49, then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. In the book of John chapter 20 and verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. It's very clear, church, right? We have a clear mission and a clear command. There's no misunderstanding there. It is our duty for every Christian, every saved person. We have a mission to preach the gospel. But I'm thankful not only do we have a mission, and it may seem like a daunting task. 8.2 or so million people in the world, billion, I'm sorry, people in the world. That's a bit of a daunting task. We have a mission, but also we have a message. Aren't you thankful we have a message to preach? We have a message. I know people today, they have all of their messages, you know, save the whales and save the ozone and, you know, save, you know, people from plastic water bottles. And I'm trying to do my job to keep the water bottle business going there. But everyone has their mission, right? But there's no greater mission than spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. There better not be anyone more passionate about their mission than we are as Christians. You understand? People are passionate. Passionate. Every once in a while you hear about people that have a passion to, like, you know, PETA with animal cruelty. And they'll, like, duct tape themselves. There's crazy stories in the sports world. And they'll super glue themselves to the basketball floor to have a mission and have a shirt. They'll handcuff themselves to a tennis net or different things to get their mission of what they believe and why. They believe about their mission. Enough to get themselves arrested and glued to the floor and all the wacky stuff that people do. And you think, what a weirdo. But they believe in their mission, don't they? We better believe in the mission that God has given to us and the message that God has given to us with the gospel. We have hope for the world, right? We have hope. Again, I'm not ragging on the environment. I'm not trying to kill the world that God gave us. But we have a better message and better hope to tell people where they're going to spend their eternity. And I'm thankful we can go in the power of the Holy Spirit. God's not saying, I'm sending you. Good luck. Hope you do good. Hope you come back alive. No, He's sending you, but He's going with you. The Holy Spirit goes with you along the way. I want to challenge you for a few minutes today about how to be a missionary at home. How to be a missionary at home. Here's the good news. Everyone is called to be a missionary at home. You say, God didn't call me to foreign missions. I'm good. All right, I'm going to catch you on this one. You're a missionary right here where you live. Amen? You have a mission field where? It's your neighborhood. Your street. The neighbors that you pass by every day. Right? The ones that are annoying, the ones that you like, all the ones in between. That's your mission field. The people you work with, that's your mission field. The people that you go and see at the grocery store and at the bank, that's your mission field. The people that you pass by, that's your mission field. Say, well, I'm sure someone else will tell them. No, God sent you. He sent you to that mission field. I want to give you some practical points tonight about how to be a missionary at home. Very practical about how to get the gospel out right here where we are. Number one is this. Take a gospel track with you. Take a gospel track with you everywhere that you go. And I understand that sometimes we forget them or whatever. We have various tracks in the church. I grabbed one of each of the tracks that we have. We have a variety of church tracks that you can choose from. And we have a few of them. We have our we have a track rack. For those of you that don't know, on the way out there, it's not just for display, but it's for a purpose. And at the corner of the track rack is our church tracks with the gospel, information about the church. Get these and keep these with you everywhere that you go. Every one of our tracks has the gospel on it. We have our heaven tracks. I forget who it was that made these. Do you remember who that was? Who was it? Brother Nearing. Brother Nearing is the one that made these. His wife is who the library is dedicated to. But Brother Nearing, our heaven tracks. And I don't think we could ever get rid of these. We're not trying to, but the heaven tracks, they give some more explanation about the gospel that go in a little bit more detail. And it says, if you died today, are you 100% sure heaven, are you 100% sure heaven will be your home? And then it has a sign here, heaven, population unlimited, and has the gospel here. And we have our heaven tracks. We have our Spanish tracks, which we're reordering. And we grabbed one, and we're redesigning and then reordering our Spanish tracks. Keep a Spanish track with you. I've been guilty of it, of not having the Spanish track when I pass by Spanish-speaking people, and I kick myself when that happens. But get a Spanish tracks with you as well. We have tracks for our military. And it says, all gave some. But some gave all, and it's about Jesus Christ that gave His all for us. And it's a fourfold track to give to people that are in the military. We have tracks for our buses and for our bus routes. It says, ride the bus. We'll pick you up at, we have no idea what time, but we'll pick you up whatever time that is. No, I'm just kidding. But it has the Bible Way to Heaven, and it has Brother Seth's phone number on there, so the kids can bug Brother Seth to get on the bus at any hours of the day or night. And then don't call in the middle of the night, unless it's an emergency. All right? And then we have special invitations for big days, for our teen revivals, our family fun days, friend days, things of that nature. You say, why do we have so many tracks? Because I believe it's more opportunities to get the gospel into more people's hands. More opportunities. We have big days, so, you know, sometimes people go, well, I already have that other track. Well, here's a different one that I can give you. I want to invite you to this event. Have a gospel track with you. Could you imagine going to war without a weapon? Could you imagine going fishing without a fishing pole? I was thinking dynamite. Not legal, all right? Could you imagine going shopping without money? It's called a credit card. Don't do it. If you don't have the money, though, that may be a bad illustration. But how are you going to go without the gospel? Now, we should have the gospel. If you're saved, you have the gospel inside of you. How you got saved is how anyone else is going to get saved, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. But a gospel track, you know what a great tool the gospel track is? When you go to check out at the grocery store, I'd like to invite you to Shasta Baptist Church, and there's good news, the Bible Way to Heaven on the back. 10 seconds, 5 seconds, you could give the gospel, and you never know what that gospel track will do. You never know. Get a gospel track in people's hands. You've heard the illustration before, but Pastor Tim Rule pastored Pleasant Valley Baptist Church in Chico, and he has since retired, still serving and working there in different ways. But his wife was a waitress at a restaurant as a young lady, and someone left a gospel track, and I believe a tip. She got the track, read it, gotten saved. She's a pastor's wife now serving the Lord because someone just didn't even say anything as far as I know. They left a track for a waitress. I don't believe she even knows who the person is. Got saved, and look at what the Lord did with her life. You never know what the gospel will do if you simply leave it on a door. Don't put it in the mailbox. That's illegal. Leave it with a coworker or someone and say, would you read this when you get a chance? It's the Bible Way to Heaven. Get a track and keep it with you. You can hand it out wherever you go. All of our tracks and brochures has the gospel on it. Keep a track with you. Number two, how to be involved in missions at home. Keep a track with you. Number two, come to an organized soul-winning meeting here at the church. Come to an organized soul-winning meeting or an unorganized soul-winning meeting as well. Either one works. An organized soul-winning time. We have our Tuesday night men's soul-winning time at 6:30. We go and do visits and we follow with people that came to visit the church about salvation or baptism or joining the church or different things or visiting Sunday school classes on Tuesday nights. Wednesday evenings at 4 o'clock, 3:30. Our teenagers go soul winning. That's just for our teenagers and their workers as well. Saturday soul winning time at 9:30 is our big time of soul winning. And where we get to go door knocking and bus calling and visiting on Sunday school classes. We have maps for people to go out and leave a flyer in a door, do some door knocking. And if you've not come on Saturday soul winning time, you need to come. You need to be there. You need to be involved in this. You say, well, I go at other times. Praise the Lord for that, and I know that many do. But I know this, in the busy day and age that we live in, it's hard to get time, isn't it? It's hard. It's busy. If you're working and you have kids and you've got stuff and life gets busy, I get it. But you have to set aside time to go soul winning. You have to do it. You have to set aside and say, I'm doing nothing for the next couple of hours and telling people about Jesus. You say, well, I tell people along the way, set aside designated time just to go soul winning. Get a street and go soul winning, house to house, door to door. Why? Because those are people I'll never see in another place through the city. I believe that. Unless if I go door to door, house to house, street to street, and we go through every single street in Reading, and we mark the map on every street that we do, and then we get done, we erase the board, and we start over again. Every single door, every person needs to hear the gospel. We have other soul-winning opportunities. Our juvenile hall ministry, getting the gospel out through our young people behind bars. Our rescue mission service is the first Tuesday night of the month for our men. I encourage you to come out. We'll have that not this Tuesday, but the next Tuesday. We have bus routes, people door knocking where you go. Come to an organized soul-winning time. Say, well, I don't know what I'd say and who I'd go with. Come and pair up with someone and just watch and listen and learn how to be a soul winner. How else are we going to learn than without going and trying? Just come and be a part of it and see what God can do if you set aside some extra time. Number three is this: learn the Romans Road verses. How to be a missionary at home. Learn Romans Road verses. On the back of almost every gospel tract, we have what's called the Romans Road. It came popular several decades ago. It's the same Bible and the same gospel, but it's the gospel through the book of Romans. And if you don't know it, look at a tract and take it home. And I challenge you to take it home and memorize the verses. And it has a very brief description of what each of these verses means. Memorize it and learn the verses and be able to explain the Romans Road so that when you go door knocking, you can say, "Hi, we're from Shasta Baptist Church." And you could say, "Do you know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven? Can I show you what the Bible says?" And know what the Bible says and how to tell them how to be saved. Number four is this: not only should we take a gospel track with you, come to an organized soul winning meeting, learn the Romans Road. Number four, practice giving the gospel. So many people say this: "Well, I'm shy. I'm not very outgoing. You know, God's not called me to do that." First of all, if you're saved, God has called you to be a soul winner. So guess what? It's not about our personalities. It's not about how outgoing or introverted we are. That has nothing to do with the gospel, and that will not be an excuse when you stand before the Lord. You know that, right? It's not an excuse. I'm not an outgoing person. I don't like talking to people. I'm telling you the truth. I'd rather go in the back room that's not my personality. But the gospel is not about personality. It's a command for all of us to go. Practice giving the gospel. They say this: practice makes perfect. Now, there's no perfect person at anything, all right? Everyone makes mistakes. But practice makes you better at things, though, doesn't it? You may not be talented in an area, but if you practice, you'll get better. Practice giving the gospel. I know this might sound corny and weird, but I believe it's helpful. Practice giving the gospel in front of the mirror. Practice giving the gospel recording yourself with your phone or with your spouse or with your children or with your parent, saying, "Could I practice giving the gospel to you?" And we do that with the teenagers. When we have rainy teen soul winning days in years past, I'd say, "Okay, it's training time." And we go through and say, "Who has a question?" And we'd say, "What does this verse mean? So what if someone asks you this?" You come up here and let's practice giving the gospel back and forth. Training, practicing to give the Word of God out. Practice giving the gospel. One of the best things you can do, get someone a track, say, "Here's the Bible way to heaven," and then ask them the question. You know what the question is, don't you? If you died today, are you 100% sure that heaven would be your home? Ask them, very pointed, very clearly. Don't ask someone, "Are you a Christian?" Don't ask them that. That's a very general term, that this Christian today encompasses so many groups of people. Don't ask someone that. Ask, "If you died today, are you 100% sure?" Not 99%, 100% sure that heaven will be your home. And then wait for whatever answer that you might be given. And you never know what that may be. Many people say, "Oh yeah, I think so." That's probably the most popular answer. "Oh, I think so." Think so is code for "I'm not saved," right? "I think so" is code for "I'm working at being a good person to earn salvation." It is. Are you 100% sure if you died today that you would go to heaven? And follow up with them. How do you know that you're going to heaven? How do you know that you're saved? And listen to the answer they tell you. And you know what? Whatever they tell you, you take them to the plan of salvation. You take them to the gospel. You go one by one through the plan of salvation and tell them, say, "Can I show you how the Bible says how you can know for sure that heaven would be your home?" You know, you can do that. Every one of you can do that. Take the gospel and sit down with someone, talk to them and say, "Could I talk with you for a minute? Could I share with you how you can have a home in heaven?" And go through the plan of salvation. Here's the thing. Everyone gets saved the same way, don't they? Right, church? Everyone gets saved the same way. Right? They get saved by grace, through faith, Jesus Christ alone. No one gets saved any other way. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You have the biblical way of salvation by faith in Jesus alone, and that everyone else is a works salvation. You know that, church, right? False religions are always a works salvation because it was started by a man, It started by a man that wants to change the Bible for their own religion. They add works to get salvation or to keep it. If you have to work to get salvation, or if you have to work to keep it, that is not salvation. If you think in any way when you pray to receive salvation, you had to be a good person to keep it, you are not saved. And neither is that person as well. We need some confrontational soul winning. I think sometimes, I don't want to offend somebody. You've heard Pastor Johnson say it. Are you going to offend them to hell number one or hell number two? Right? They're already going to hell. I'm not trying to offend someone, but say you're not saved. According to the Bible, you're going to a place called hell with that faith. They may not like it, but they need to hear it though, very clearly and plainly from the Word of God. I challenge you, the couple verses, I believe they're in our heaven tracks. I forgot to double check and look, but Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, I challenge every soul winner to memorize those verses. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works as any man should boast. Practice giving the gospel. Then number 5, pray and look for opportunities to witness every single day. I want to give you a challenge, church. I want to give you a challenge. I want to challenge you to give out a gospel tract every single day. Just one. You say, well, I could give more. Praise the Lord for that. But every day look for one person to give a gospel tract to. And I want to challenge you a step further than that as well. To ask someone every day, do you know for sure if you died today that you go to heaven? You'd be amazed that if you pray, say, God, would you send someone by my path today? Would you give me an opportunity to be a witness? Do you believe if you prayed that God would send someone by your way? You believe that? Do you believe that God has divine appointments, that there is people looking for the truth of the gospel, and that God would send them by their way? It's amazing when you're praying and when you're looking that God puts someone your way and they go, you know what? I was thinking about that. I was just praying and asking for God to send someone my way. You'd be amazed at what God could arrange to come by your path if you'd be willing just to speak up. Pray and look for opportunities to witness. My family, we were going to Turtle Bay the other day for a little bit, and as we were going there, there was two young men that were like 18 years old, fresh out of high school. I mean, they were young whippersnappers there, going there. I don't know why I even said that. But they were a couple young men, and they've got their white shirts and their black slacks and their tie and elder whoever, and they get out there, and there's people at the corner up there that have their rack up there, and I forget the terms of what it says there, but these two young men get out and they're getting ready to evangelize. You know, these two Mormon young men, and they've got their Bibles and they're going out and they're going to tell someone about their religion. And one of the young boys, I never heard him say anything, and I was walking kind of near them, but they were a ways ahead. And I couldn't quite hear what they said to the first people they walked by, but everyone they walked by, one of the young men said, and I heard as I got closer, he said, could I share a verse with you? And they said no, and the next person came. Every single person he went by, could I share a verse with you? Could I share a verse with you? Could I share a verse with you? No one said yes. And he kept going. If these young men that are evangelizing their faith, which is sending people to a place called hell, they believe strongly enough to go on their missions and to tell people about their religion and their faith, which is not true and it's not right and it's not going to get anyone to heaven. If they're willing to do that, how come we that have the truth are not willing to go? Bold enough to say, can I share a verse with you? Can I share a verse with you? Can I share a verse with you? Pray and look for opportunities to be witnessed. There's a mission field right here where we are. Right where we are. In our bus routes, with our Sunday school classes, in our juvenile halls. Pray for our jail ministry. I called again this past week or so and asking about trying to get that opened again. We had the jail ministry for about 35 plus years, and it's been shut down since COVID for like 5 years, and we haven't been able to get there to give the gospel. There's so many opportunities right here where we are. But church, we must be going. Must be praying, must be looking. We know we have a mission, we have a message, but also we go with the power of the Holy Spirit. Church, we have the truth, don't we? We have the truth. But if we hide it under a bushel, who's it going to help? Who's it going to help? Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. We'll have a word of prayer. our missions at home. You know, I'm challenged to hear when young people get to lead a cousin to the Lord. When they get to lead a neighbor kid to the Lord, they have a faith sometimes that is, sometimes it puts us to shame. And they think, why didn't we talk to them? And how about we tell them about the Lord? And we go, oh, they don't want to hear. May we challenge our faith and have God to challenge our faith to do more for missions right here where we are. I challenge you, a track a day, one a day. Everyone can do that. I want to challenge you, secondly, about asking people, do you know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven? Pray and look for opportunities where you are and where you're going. With head bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet as the invitation time begins? Lord, would you please work on hearts and lives and speak to us. Help us to do more for the gospel right here where we are. With head bowed and eyes closed, as you stand to your feet, the altar's open. Would you come as God spoke to your heart, as God challenged you about doing more with the gospel?